Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is the self-proclaimed coolest guy in SEO, an American expat living in Cambodia, and an entrepreneur. Just over 9 years ago, and after spending a few short years as a software engineer, my guest took the entrepreneurial leap and started Ardor SEO. Nearly a decade later, they have offices and teams in Australia, Cambodia, and the Philippines. In this conversation, we discuss how to define success using backlinks to increase SEO and transitioning into a top-line business. Now, let's hack Chris Reed. Emails, so many emails, so many messages. In my 10 years in business now, I've sent millions, literally millions of email messages across countless businesses for myself and for clients throughout the years. I've used 5 different email providers, and the one that I choose in my businesses today and in Hack the Entrepreneur today is ActiveCampaign. ActiveCampaign enables you and me to send perfectly timed messages in response to your customers' actions. Why does this matter? It matters because companies using marketing automation will see a 53% higher conversion than those using traditional email marketing. With marketing automation, you can sort of listen, you can learn, and then adapt and respond to how your customers behave within emails, what they click on, what they open. Also, it can connect to your WordPress site and you can allow their profiles and what you send to them to change based on what pages they've seen on your website too, which is absolutely fascinating. This sounds complicated, but it's not. It's actually super beautiful, easy to use platform. And there's no need to hire consultants because you can set it up yourself. See why myself and thousands are upgrading to a more intelligent marketing solution. Sign up for free 14-day trial right now. No credit cards even needed. Visit activecampaign.com/hack. There's no training fees, there's no contracts, and pricing is accessible to any size business. Plus, for being a Hack the Entrepreneur listener, you get 3 really cool bonuses. You're going to get a free migration service, so any lists or contacts you have at other provider will move it over for free. Your second month for whatever service you choose after your 14-day trial, your second month is absolutely free. Plus, you're going to get a free one-on-one strategy session with a platform consultant. Start marketing smarter today. Visit activecampaign.com/hack to get started with no credit card. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest all the way from Cambodia this morning. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Thanks very much for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My pleasure. I think that we're going to have a lot of fun today, Chris.
Awesome. I hope so.
Nice. So let's jump into it, shall we?
Go right ahead.
All right, Chris, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Really depends on what you call success. So we had a whole bunch of growth, which was fabulous. And so if you call that success, there's some things, but it also then drove me mental because a lot of growth comes a lot of work and a lot of staff to organize. And so then that even caused some destabilizing factors, and I found a way to balance it a lot easier. And, you know, we still have growth. It's not as dramatic as it was, but my days are less stressful. And I think that's a greater success.
Nice. So is, like, you prefaced it with, like, what do you call success? So what exactly do you call success as an entrepreneur?
Well, I mean, I like the fact that I generally wake up around 5 o'clock without an alarm clock. I go and practice yoga in the morning. Go and have breakfast with friends and, you know, casually get to my desk around 9 o'clock, yeah, with like, I think that's a form of success that I'm free to have my mornings however the hell I like them. And then I get about my day, which is pretty structured, quite well planned. It is planning that makes you efficient, I find. But yeah, my focus really is to keep the business growing, but stably and without me losing my hair.
There we go. So growing stably without you losing your hair. And so you are talking to us from Cambodia. Are you a native to Cambodia?
I'm not actually. If you might have picked up on my accent, I'm from Brisbane, Australia.
I didn't want to make an assumption. That's all.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Now I am. I'm an Australian by birth. Lived there for a good chunk of my life, but I've spent the last 5 years in Asia and the previous six in Europe. So it's been a while.
Oh wow! So the five and then six, and then so you are in Cambodia. You're running a company called Ardor SEO. You have been for just over 9 years at this point. And so you're living this lifestyle that is a dream to many people probably listening. But let's go back, because it doesn't start here. I believe just over 9 years ago, you had a job like everyone else. So could we sort of go back to that point, Chris, when you had a job and then when you sort of, I guess, made this decision, or was it made for you to kind of go out on your own and start your own thing?
Yeah, so I studied software engineering back in Australia. And pretty much as soon as I graduated, I went to London to work in finance. You know, that's the two places you want to be as a software engineer, is either Silicon Valley or working in finance, because that's where the big bucks are. And yeah, that was fabulous. I had a great time until 2008 came around with the global financial crisis. And I lost my job like pretty much everyone else. You know, all the money dried up. So all of our contracts dried up and, you know, out we went. And so I went back to Australia for a while, and I was trying to work out what I'm going to do. And, you know, luckily I was able to have saved a lot of money, so that I didn't really have to worry about money for the foreseeable future. And like financial institutions, they tend to build desktop applications because they're very secure, because they're not on the internet. And so I knew how to build those, but not web applications. And so I built an online game just for a bit of fun to work out how web programming works. And as the game came to fruition, I was like, well, how the heck do you get people to your website or to know about your game? And so I started learning about SEO, and that became a passion of mine. And yeah, here I am now.
So building, I guess, I mean, as a computer science like engineer, then obviously it's not a huge leap to build yourself an online game. But then when you started researching how to, because I mean, that's, I don't know how many probably computer programmers out there or coders have like built something because they're really, really good at it. But then how do I get people to find it? And they typically never do in the grand scheme of things. So I'm sure you did a lot of research. There was not nearly as many blogs about it at that time as there are now. But how did sort of SEO stand out to you? And is there anything else that you tried first?
So yeah, the one thing that fascinated me was backlinks. You know, backlinks are the foundation of Google. Like Larry Page, the co-founder of Google, he determined, well, when someone writes a book, and if everyone else references that book, then they must be the authority in that niche. He thought, well, it must be the same with websites. If you build a website and everyone links to your website, then you must be the authority and you should rank the best. And that's how he came up with the PageRank algorithm, and it worked awesome. And you know, Google destroyed all the other search engines. And so I thought, wow, this is really cool. And as I started learning about it and working out how you build some backlinks, and then seeing my website rank really well, I was like, wow, this is awesome. And being a software guy, I love building systems. And so I built a system to build backlinks and manage gazillions of them, and army of workers to get out there and build backlinks for customers. And it was a lot of fun. And you know, it was a little bit easier back in those days. But that's really how we started.
And when you say built a system to get backlinks, okay, so backlinks, just to clarify for everyone, is another website, a website anywhere on the internet writes an article, and in some way or some context, they mention your website or something to do with your website. So if it was a backlink to Hack the Entrepreneur, it could be like Entrepreneur Podcast. And in that link, they highlight it as you see on the web, and then they link a link back to my site. And Google then scans or crawls through that and gives more leverage to my site now if somebody searched for Entrepreneur Podcast. So that's just the very brief backlink. But when you say built a system for it, do you mean like literally built a computer program for it? Or is it just you built that army of people and sort of like a written process?
Yeah, so I built a bit of software where customers could come and put in the URL that they want to rank and what keywords that they want to rank for. And then it'd get sent off to our team and they would go in the background and go, it'd deliver them sites to go and try and create content to and create links to and post links to our customer site. And then they'd submit it back to the system. And it worked really well for a long time. But, you know, they weren't really high quality links, but that didn't matter back then. A link was a link. But yeah, Google is always trying to find the best content, the best links. And as search has become so much more competitive and so much more valuable, that it you need really super quality ones these days. Like, because everyone's trying to game the system to, you know, get ahead of someone else, because every keyword on earth is so valuable. So, you know, Google has to keep improving their algorithm to be able to beat all of the SEOs, and then the SEOs have to get better as well, you know? What's the word? A Red Queen race, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. But backlinks are still relevant, and it's changed, you're right, a lot since then. But that's still probably, is that the basis of your business still? Like, helping people with SEO is really a backlink sort of game.
Oh, it depends on where they are. I mean, generally building some authority, but mostly people come from, they get a website built by a web designer, and web designers can be really good at making sites pretty, but not very functional. And so we'll go through it and try and fix what we can on the website, make it load faster, which, you know, gives you a ranking boost as well. But mainly try and look at the content and see, well, what are you doing? What do you want the user to do? Like, they've searched, you know, I don't know, plumber Sydney. What do you want them to do? Do you want them to pick up the phone and call you? Well, then have a strong call to action. Give them a reason why they should call you. Not, you know, like, if it's an emergency plumbing, great, here's the big number. And, you know, call us for your emergencies. Whatever you're trying to sell, well, give them the information, but then get them doing it, you know? Where a lot of websites are far too passive. And, you know, people just get bored or don't know what they're meant to do and leave.
Right. So you can optimize for search engine traffic as much as you want. But if you don't also optimize for conversions or people taking action, eventually if people just end up on your site from a Google search and then don't do anything and just hit the back button all the time, Google will just stop showing people to you.
Well, that's true. That will decrease your rankings in Google. But the main thing is that you're getting traffic already. So why not try and convert it? You know, it's a lot easier to work with what you already got than go and get new stuff.
Exactly. So at the beginning, Chris, you said building this like scalable system was your thing. Now, every business expert today talks about the 80-20 rule in business. You're supposed to find that 20% that you're good at, do that, and then delegate the rest. Could you, Chris, tell me something that you're absolutely not good at in your business?
Hiring. I'm not great at that. When I'm involved in the hiring, we go through a few people. But we do have some great people, so I did get them. I'm not really great at project management, good at creating ideas and project plans, but then the implementation, I can get a bit sidetracked. So our other staff are better at that.
Okay, so hiring. And I mean, that ties back to your thing, is building this army of a team around you to work. How it seems contradictory to each other.
Yeah. So to start with, when we had an army of backlinkers, it was quite simple work and they all got paid based on the work that they did, like per link. Where now we've got much higher end staff that are, you know, more creative and more skilled. And are all salary based, and you know, it's much harder to gauge their work or measure it. So it's, you know, you really need to be on a salary. And finding the right people is super difficult. You know, it's trying to weed them out. Some people are just really good at interviews. Some people aren't, but they're really good at their job. You know, it's hard to find. You know, you want to be spending over an hour talking to someone at least initially, and finding the time and energy to do that. You know, if you're like interviewing 10 people, well, that's, you know, nearly half a week's work in just hiring one position, you know? So it can be really hard to find the motivation to do that.
But are you the one doing it, or have you now hired that out?
It depends on the role. If there's someone that's going to be working with me, then I, if it's someone that, if it's one of our managers asks, says they want someone new, then it's up to them. You know, they're responsible for getting their work done. So if they need more people on their team, then yeah, they do that.
And you have teams in two offices, is that right?
Yeah, so we've got an office here in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, and a second in Davao in the southern Philippines that just went under martial law.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, well, it's on the big island called Mindanao, and on the west side of the island's the Muslim Autonomous Zone, and they just had a little bit of ISIS-related trouble. But I'm sure it'll be fine.
Wow. Wow, so is it economic reasons why Cambodia and the Philippines, or are there other reasons?
The Philippines, certainly. I mean, the Philippines has the best level of English for any non-native country, for sure. And the cost of living is significantly less than any Western country. So, yeah, you can get really skilled people with excellent language skills at a significantly discounted rate than you would in the US or Australia. So that's great. And here in Cambodia, unfortunately, the locals tend to have terrible English, so they can be very difficult to work with on these sort of projects. But here we get lots of expats. So you'll get, you know, Americans, Australians, French living here that have, you know, great education. You know, they are Westerners, so you can also get them at a great discounted price too, because, the cost of living here is significantly less.
So therefore, it gives you a sort of competitive advantage, I would think, to like...
Yeah, for sure, because we're able to provide, you know, I hope better, but at least the same quality services that anyone can in the West, but fraction of the cost. In fact, a good chunk of our customers are SEO agencies that outsource their work to us because they can't do it themselves.
Oh, wow. So that's cool. So you get outsourced work from other companies who get it, and so you can just... You don't even have to really deal with a whole bunch of clients. You can deal with one or two of those clients and get a whole bunch of work through it.
That's certainly an advantage, because as we were a backlink company, that was our, you know, bread and butter. And, you know, we went after SEO companies because, you know, if you went for just a regular company, well, you get one website to look after. You go after a SEO company, you get a new client, and they might bring you 100 websites to look after, you know? So it's a great way to expand.
Yeah. Is that something that you're actively doing now? Like who do you think of as your customer?
Well, certainly SEO companies were fabulous for us. That's why we grew really fast, because, you know, small ones would bring you 10 customers, about 10 websites, big ones would bring you 100 websites. It was fabulous. Then also with them outsourcing the work to us, you know that they're taking in the cream of, and, you know, and you're getting the leftovers. And as we provided more and more services, we started doing everything for them. So even here's a white labeled report, you know, we'd just put their brand on it and go deliver that to your customer. And so, you know, whatever they're spending with us, the customer's probably paying, you know, five times that. And so we did start going, well, why don't we go and just do this ourselves? And so we've certainly been branching out to retail SEO as well.
Oh, so when you branch out to retail SEO, is the purpose to go up market with your pricing?
Yeah. So then rather than being the behind the scenes guy that, you know, gets the small, you get to go and take the lion's share as well. Yeah.
Right. So rather than just taking the cut that you wanted from hundreds of people, you just want to go upscale and take sort of their cut at the top. And then you can probably outsource it to a team below you.
Well, we're not looking at doing that, but yeah, with our clients too, a lot of SEO companies, they tend to go for cheap clients. Like they might go for ones that pay a couple hundred bucks a month. And that's not really that interesting, because you can't do a lot with a $400 a month. It's not a lot of budget, not a lot you can do with it. But a customer that's spending, you know, $4,000 a month, and you can do some interesting stuff. You know, like we just put a proposal together for a guy that, it's for 10,000 to build his sales funnel, and it's going to be super cool, you know, and the results are going to be outrageous, you know?
Right. So it moves, yeah, not only your portion of it up, but for the results on the other end, scales up dramatically. So
yeah, for sure.
Let's talk projects, Chris, like as a really loose sort of term, but whether that's like a customer acquisition project or a new project that you want to take on for new potential clients or your potential clients. But you said that you are not sort of good at maybe project management and hiring people, but you are with the ideas. So I'm sure ideas come to you all the time, and I'm sure ideas are brought to you by your team. But I would love to know the process that you go through, Chris, whether that's a written process you have or just an internal gut process. But what's the process you go through to decide that a project is worth not only your time, but also your team's time, energy, and resources?
You mean with a new customer coming on board?
No, either something you want to provide new to a customer, or like a new acquisition channel, or just a new direction of the company, any sort of new project within the company.
When I'm building a new product, and in fact, we just started testing out a few in the last week or two, you know, we keep them really rough and just do it like piecemeal, you know, and don't even have like kind of any pricing, just, you know, measure it with customers, because we're in a lucky market that we're a top line business where we add value. And so if it doesn't matter if a product's $1 or $10,000, as long as the customer's getting more in return, then they're happy, right? You know, if you spend $100 and get $200 back, well, you're going to spend all day long. And so as long as we can always show that correlation, then they're happy as. And so for local SEO, really good for like, you know, plumbers or something, like, you know, Plumber New York that comes up in the Google Map pack. We've been looking at improving citation analysis by doing more analysis on the and competitors to see exactly what they have to outline. Okay, here's the top three, and this is why they're ranking, and this is you, and why you're not. And we'll pretty it up and make a really nice interface for it eventually. But for now, it's just all smashed together in a spreadsheet that we can still pass to the customer, and they go, oh yeah, great. And once we refine that to see exactly how they like it, and because you can go really detailed in the search, but that's going to cost more money. You can just do it lightly, and that should get you pretty good results and cost less money. So you like got to kind of see what the market wants and, you know, what gets the good results. So yeah, try and do it really ad hoc as much as you can.
And do you kind of make it look sort of automated to the customer side, even though it's not at all?
Sometimes, I mean, a lot of the times we can just throw this sort of data into a spreadsheet and pretty it up a bit and then go, here you go. And then, yeah, we do have a back-end interface, so we'll eventually tie it into that and make it very automated. It's all done by humans at the back end.
Right.
But, yeah, it kind of looks a bit computerish.
Yeah, totally. So with local SEO, say for plumbers in New York City, like where does that idea that you guys should sort of push that market, where does that idea come from?
Well, I mean, most businesses are local businesses and they are searching for their local area. You know, it's, you know, a plumber is not looking to go nationwide generally. They're just looking for their local area. And so most of the SEO agencies we work with, you know, bricks and mortar shops that are looking for their local area. And so, yeah, Google Maps is super important. You know, that it was just through analysis of, you know, customers going, why is this site not ranking, or why is this customer not succeeding, that, you know, we started making a product for it.
So is that so that you can possibly see growth in other channels besides online reputation management and like maybe funnel building or backlink building? Do you want to like sort of spread it out and have your finger in more sort of pies for security reasons, and so things, if they change rapidly, it doesn't affect you? Or like, why don't you double down more on what you're doing rather than go to more places? What's the thinking behind that?
Yes, it was certainly like, you speak with any SEO and their biggest fear is that you're tied to Google and Google can change the rules at any second. You know, they control all the traffic and they do try and make it fluctuate because they don't make money from SEO, right? They make money from SEM, AdWords, the paid search. And so the more unstable they can make SEO, the more that you'll go to and spend money with them. And, you know, Google's a massive company, but they still, like, 90% of their revenue comes from AdWords. You know, and so everyone's pushing you to buy traffic, buy it from Facebook, buy it from Google, because it is reliable. So, you know, you know that if I spend 10 grand, I get this much traffic, and you spend 10 grand next month, you'll get that much traffic. You know, and so it's very big companies really like it because they can put a model together. They know that if I spend 10,000, then I'm going to get 100 leads. You know, I'll convert 10 of those, and those customers will be worth 50 grand. So there you go. I made five times on my investment. And then that's great. Turn it up to 100 grand and away you go. Where like SEO is certainly not, you can do one thing for one website and do it for another and you won't get the same result. You know, it's an industry that changes and adapts and fluctuates, but it's longevity. You know, like people have so much more trust in organic listings than they do paid listings. You know, no one really wants to click on an ad. But also, if you do stop spending, well, you still keep your rankings. They don't go away. Where, you know, AdWords, you stop spending, you stop getting. So it's cumulative.
Instantly.
Yeah, instantly.
So it's interesting because when you say like SEO fluctuation changes all the time, like not only does it do that, but it also, there's no definitive answers. Like Google will like tells you what they put a surface like sort of, I guess, answers and responses to everything on their site telling you how it's working, but it's not really like, cause that's not cutting edge because they have to stay ahead of people, right? So It's kind of like economics where everybody has a different opinion of what works and what doesn't. So as a CEO of an SEO company, and as like the person who comes up with the ideas and staying ahead of this, where do you go, Chris? Like, where do you read or what do you do to stay up on SEO?
Yeah, I mean, I was just reading a case study by Ahrefs before the call. And there's so much data out there and so many things to read. And so many of them are conflicting too. Yeah, like I've been reading some great tests recently about looking at the content on your website. Say you've got a 100-page website. So how PageRank kind of works in this theory is like, say you have 100 points of PageRank and you've got 100 pages on your website. So it kind of drittles through the whole website and they all get kind of one PageRank. And so if you look through your analytics and you see all the pages that aren't ranking and no one's going to and no one's ever visiting, well, if you get rid of those pages, then the other pages you have more authority and will rank better. So it's much better to have a 10-page website than a 100-page website. And, you know, that really conflicts with all of the other studies that are done on, you know, content and building great content and lots of it, you know. So you really got to test these things out for yourself and see how they work. And each market's different. Each keyword's different. Like you need to look at who you're up against. You know, if you're up against Walmart, then well, it's going to be a pretty tough challenge. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the Ahrefs blog.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll link to that for people in the show notes. I also been spending a lot of time on Reddit. Their subreddit SEO, and then they have one called Big SEO.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be people working in the industry talking about a lot of sort of things that are happening. So I'll link that just so people can get some sort of background and kind of stay up on SEO because it is super important to your business.
Yeah, like Ahrefs and Majestic, they're both tools that are basically like Google. They try and reverse engineer Google. They have spiders that go out and crawl websites just like Google. And then they're paid services. And then you can see who's linking to who. You can analyze all of the different websites. But, you know, they're not billion-dollar companies like Google, so they have a fraction of the amount of sites that they can crawl. Like, even on Majestic's front page, I'm just trying to bring it up. In their fresh index, so that means what they've looked at recently, which is between the 25th of February to the 30th of May, they crawled 372 billion URLs. They've found 929 billion. So there's, you know, that's almost a quarter of the URLs that they've seen. You know, in their historic index, which is from 17th of August 2011 to the 17th of March, you know, they crawled 1.1 trillion URLs. But they found, you know, over 6 trillion. So it's like not even a sixth of the websites they're able to crawl. You know, they just don't have the processing power of Google. So you have to take everything they say with a grain of salt, you know?
Exactly, exactly. A huge, huge grain of salt, actually.
Yeah. I mean, those numbers are just mind-boggling, eh?
They are.
And 6 trillion URLs.
That's why it's so hard to get found when you want to.
Indeed.
That's why we need people like Chris and his company.
Indeed.
So Chris, this has been an absolute blast. I do want to wrap up on one final question for you, if I can.
Sure, fire away.
Yeah, it's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap, which as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, I find that we sometimes live in this gap between where we want to be and where we are, meaning that no matter what we accomplish personally and in business, we never personally see ourselves as successful because in 3 months when you hit that revenue metric or in 6 months when you hit that other goal that you've set for yourself, you and I both know, Chris, that seconds before you hit that, you're going to set 5 or 10 bigger goals into the future. And it just seems that from the outside, we look very successful, but to ourselves, it's always in front of us. So I would love it if we could stop and kind of close this gap right now, Chris, for a bit. And if you could stop, turn around and look behind you at the past 9+ years in business, the highs, the lows, the wins and the losses, and tell me how you feel about this whole journey until today.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a journey with some great highs and very great lows. But yeah, that's what makes it. And, you know, there's this absolutely fabulous book that I highly recommend. It's called The Daily Stoic by Ryan Holiday. And every day it has a Stoic quote from, you know, one of the greats like Seneca or Marcus Aurelius. And then he's got a modern interpretation of it. And just yesterday's quote was something along the lines of, you know, like when your body's been feeling sluggish and you go to the gym and you're all grumpy, but, you know, you feel great after it that you've moved and you've used your body. And it's like, you know, you need to work. It's the same as your brain. It needs to get out there and be challenged. And so you should be thankful for the work that you have because that's what keeps you going. And, you know, if you can enjoy it too, it's even better. And like, I love what I do. I work hard, but you know, it's 9:14 and I'm chatting on a podcast with you. It's fabulous. I love it. You know, so reading books like that helps me to appreciate what I have and not always be chasing the next great thing. You know, like we've got some great projects in the pipeline. You know, I got a really cool call on Friday that I'm hoping the deal will come through. But you know, if it doesn't, I'm trying to be happy with the proposal that we've put together. And you know, we've done our best effort. And you know, you shouldn't try and let external forces have so much of an impact on you.
Very well said. Very well said. All right, Chris, we've got to talk about the business in passing. Could you just tell the audience about Ardor SEO, who it will help, and then where they can track it down online?
Yeah, sure. Well, ardorseo.com is our website. You can just Google the coolest guy in SEO and you'll see plenty about me. You know, we work with a huge range of companies, mainly digital marketing guys, but work with plumbers ourselves, printer repair guys, luxury cruise shops, lawyers, you know, you name it. So if you need more visitors to your website and want to make some more money, then give us a call.
Excellent. Excellent. I will link to Ardor. I'll drop a backlink to ardorseo.com on the website under Chris Reed's show notes for you, as well as links to Majestic, the SEO tool, the Ahrefs blog, that Daily Stoic book, and some other links I find for things you can read about to catch up on your SEO news. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time this evening in Cambodia to join me. Thanks for sharing so openly, and please just keep doing what you're doing, man, because it is awesome to watch.
Awesome, John. Thanks very much. Hey.
We all know that email marketing absolutely works to drive sales in your business, but you must treat your contacts as unique individuals rather than sending everyone the same boring message. See why thousands are upgrading to a more intelligent marketing automation solution with ActiveCampaign. Sign up for a 14-day free trial right now with no credit card needed. Visit activecampaign.com/hack and get your 3 special bonuses, free migration, your second month absolutely free, and a free one-on-one strategy session. Start marketing smarter today. Get and convert more leads with ActiveCampaign. Visit activecampaign.com/hack. Chris, thank you so much. That was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the conversation and it was cool. We went a little deep into a little bit of SEO there, some backlinks, talked about like the Majestic SEO tool, the Ahrefs blog, and then Reddit SEO. So we will link to those in the show notes for you so they're easy to find. So make sure to stop over there and check out Chris Reed's show notes and dig into the SEO a bit. It's fascinating. I mean, the stuff we create online, if it's not being found, then there's kind of not really a reason for it to be created in the first place, almost, except for the natural inclination of creating and sort of the joy of creating. But I've been really fascinated with SEO passively for a couple of years, but I've really been diving into it for 2017. And it's just really, it's fascinating to me. And I really kind of dig it. So it was cool to get to talk to Chris. The fact that he built this business around SEO from Australia to Cambodia and now across three countries to build Ardor SEO. It's a fascinating story. And the leap of sort of faith into the entrepreneurial journey from this legitimate sort of job, which was software engineering. So it was cool. So taking part in the conversation is always fun. It's always something I really dig, and I really kind of get a lot out of sort of intellectually and sort of emotionally getting to take part in it. But I also really love this part of the show, the part where I get to go back and I get to listen to the conversation like you did. So I did. I went back and I listened to the conversation Chris and I had, and then I went back and I listened to the conversation again. That second time back through the conversation, there was something Chris had said that I had somehow missed. But when I heard it this time, it was so very, very clear. It was that one thing that Chris said. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
We're in a lucky market that we're a top-line business where we add value. And so it doesn't matter if a product's $1 or $10,000, as long as the customer's getting more in return, then they're happy, right? You know, if you spend $100 and get $200 back, well, you're going to spend all day long.
And that's the hack. Chris. We're in a lucky position because we're a top-line business. And as long as we can prove that you're going to make more money than you're spending, you'll spend all day long. This is really smart and really cool for several reasons. So there's the top-line business thing, which we'll kind of stay away from because it's not doesn't really pertain to this as much. The idea of sort of business to business, and I want to use this hack actually just to get you thinking in this way when you are selling your product, when you're selling your service, whatever it is you're selling. Think about it in terms, positioning it in terms of the customer and what value will come back to the customer. So, I mean, in business to business transactions, like Chris is with Ardor, his business is selling services to other businesses, business to business. So what he says is, it doesn't matter if it's $1 or if it's $10,000, my product, as long as I can prove that it's going to make the cost, so the $1 or the $10,000 plus X, which is extra profit, whatever that number is on top, then people will buy it all day long. Why wouldn't you? Even if you only made 10% or 20% more for the customer, that's a great return on investment. Obviously, it'd be better if you could double their money or triple, but that's not necessary to make the sale and to be able to convince people. So oftentimes we especially when we're trying to sell things, when they start going up the sort of ladder in prices, we get sort of nervous or anxious about even offering that $10,000 offer that Chris kind of just threw out there. Not that he's talking about an actual offer, but that idea. And I love this sort of mindset shift of thinking of yourself in the sense that we just have to prove the value to the customer. As soon as we can prove that they will make more money than they're spending, they'll spend all day long. Absolutely true, Chris. And thank you very much. Whew, that was a lot of fun. So, hacktheentrepreneur.com, we got a facelift. It's completely been redone, and it's now... I was on the Rainmaker platform for almost 2 years, and I've moved. I've gone straight back to straight up WordPress, and the hosting service I use is StudioPress Sites for it. So they manage the hosting for me, but it's a full-on WordPress site that I developed myself and designed from the ground up. It's pretty cool. It looks pretty awesome, I would say, and it's got a cool offer for you. If you go there, hacktheentrepreneur.com, you're going to see it. I wrote a book a year and a bit ago, sold almost 10,000 copies. Amazon, I believe, is actually doing a huge promotion of it this summer for me, which will sell probably a lot more books. But right now, for you, I'm giving it absolutely away for free. Not the paperback, unfortunately, but the PDF version of the book, the full, complete book. All you have to do is drop your email in there, and you will get an email in your inbox that gives you the book, just like that. And once you do, I mean, you could always leave me a review on Amazon if you dig it, or go to Goodreads or something. I was on Goodreads. I'm sorry, this is a sideline, but I was on Goodreads.com because I'm really into books. And I have like 100 and almost 120 reviews now of the book on Goodreads. And that was thrilling to me. If you've been one of the people who've left that review, I absolutely appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right, it's been fun. Check out the site. Get the book for free right now, if you would like. And check out Chris Reed's post and all the links in there. It's just sitting there waiting for you. All right, I won't take any more time. Absolutely cool and awesome that you stop by and take the time with me. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.